Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, 5 May, 2025, Romans.
Look at all you people, you passed the rain test. And as I've told the people, rain is a blessing in the desert. So this is a great blessing. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And in preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We realize, Heavenly Father, that all that we have and all that we are is because of who and what you are. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship with you through the study of your word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, a couple of things before we get into Romans chapter 8. First of all, an update on the evangelism team going to Childhaven yesterday. First, it says, this is from Jamie and the evangelism team. Thank you for your prayers. We had a great morning with the children at Childhaven. They brought a group of 12 elementary boys over first. Karina gave the gospel using the wordless book. And then she talked with them about sheep and how they need a shepherd, and read the parable of the lost sheep book. They made lamb sock puppets. Karina went through the Psalm 23 coloring book that they would be taking with them. They had a lot of questions, and a few of them knew parts of the Bible. One boy had to leave early, but they took a treat bag for him, which had the booklet that goes through the gospel using the different colored beads. Then in the second group, there were 16 in the elementary girls group, which included a couple of younger boys, probably there with their sisters. Irene taught the same lesson, and there were a few that had been to our class before, and they remembered so much, which made all of us very happy. A couple of the girls had been giving the staff in their cottage a hard time. It sounds like both girls have had a pretty hard life so far. They aren't sure how old one of them is. She says she's 11, but she looks much older. She can't read. It is heartbreaking. Please pray for these girls and for their cottage staff members. Al then handed out gospel booklets to staff members and some of the girls. Renetta would like us to come back to Childhaven again in July. She is so positive and loves to have our Bible classes with the children. God has blessed us with an open door at Child Haven. Continue to pray for these children and their families. Thank you, Jamie and the evangelism team. Went absolutely great. And as I've pointed out to you many times, they have been inviting us to Child Haven for many years now. This is a government-run institution for children whose families are so many problems in the families. The children are taken away from their parents and placed in Child Haven. And so it breaks my heart that these children have no wonderful home, no wonderful dad, no wonderful mom at home. And so they're here at Child Haven, and this government-run institution has invited us, Upland Bible Church, to come and give the grace gospel to these kids again and again and again, over and over, all ages, from the elementary all the way up to the teenagers, to come and give the grace gospel. And only God can do that. That is a demonstration of the grace and the power of God. And the door has continued to stay open. To God be the glory. Now, there's one other thing I wanted to tell you about that's coming up. A memorial service for Randy Frick. Memorial service for Randy Frick. Saturday, May 17th at 10 a.m. Saturday, May 17th at 10 a.m. And as you know, get here early. I start on time. Boom. So get here early. And again, that's 10 a.m. For some of you, you don't wake up till 10 p.m. But 10 a.m. So that's, and that'll be a wonderful celebration. Randy Frick was our song leader here for, we are so blessed to have him here as our song leader. Now he's song leader in heaven. And I'll save some of this for my, at the memorial service. There's always a eulogy, and I always, after all these people want to speak and say things, well, I go first, see. All right. Now, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, let's start the corrected translation at verse 8. Romans 8, verse 8. Moreover, the ones who are in the flesh, that is, under the authority and control of the sin nature, they absolutely are not able to please God. Verse 9. However, you are not in the flesh. You're not under the control of the sin nature, but in the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, assuming that the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit from Christ, this one, the unbeliever, does not belong to God. Verse 10. In fact, if Christ is in you, and for every believer in Jesus Christ in the church age, Jesus Christ is in you, the indwelling of Christ. And we studied that the last couple Sunday mornings. If Christ is in you, first class condition, and he is the indwelling of Jesus Christ in you. On the one hand, the body is subject to death because of the sin nature. But on the other hand, the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, is life because of righteousness. Then verse 11. Now, if the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, from the one, God the Father, who raised up Jesus out from all the dead, indwells you, first class condition, and he does, the one who raised Christ out from all the dead will also make alive your mortal bodies by means of his Spirit who dwells in you. And what that is saying is the one who indwells us, God the Holy Spirit, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit who makes our body a temple. How about that? Your body, here's all these bodies in here. If you believed in Christ, here are all these temples sitting all around here. God the Holy Spirit indwells you, makes your body a temple, so that Jesus Christ can dwell in you, and God the Father can dwell in you. And here we are, royal family of God, sitting here with all three members of the Trinity indwelling our body, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What verse 11 says is the one, God the Holy Spirit, who indwells us is also the one who will fashion for us our resurrection body. We're going to have a resurrection body and live in that resurrection body for all eternity. The down payment on the blessings of eternity has been given. And that down payment, that guarantee is God the Holy Spirit. I want you to, we close with this last time. Let's start with this. This morning, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's start in verse 21, 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. That is the anointing of God the Holy Spirit of salvation. We have the universal indwelling of the Spirit. He anointed us. Set his seal of ownership on us. We belong to God. We belong to the living and true God. And he put his Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Guaranteeing what is to come. And then Paul repeats this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. All these fantastic blessings for all eternity that we will enjoy. We're only here a short time on earth. We're going to be with God, the living and true God, for all eternity. I can't even I try to concentrate on those kind of things, and I start to explode. So I'll just wait till I get there. And I'll have a resurrection body. I'll be able to handle it. See. Now, verse 12, Romans 8, verse 12. In Romans 8:12, we have the negative obligation of the spiritual life. Starts out in the King James, therefore, brethren, we are debtors. And we have two inferential particles put together, back to back, araun, plus the nominative plural of the vocative of address of the noun adelphos, plus the present active indicative of the to-be verb eimi, plus the predicate nominative plural of ophelates. Now, verse 12 starts out with two inferential particles, back to back. Ara, un. Araraun. Araraun. The inferential denotes that what it introduces is the result of or an inference from what precedes. Ara expresses the inference, un expresses the transition, and it should be correctly translated, so then. And that's how we'll translate, so then. And that puts the spotlight on the fact that we have absolutely no obligation to the sin nature in our life. We have no obligation to the old sin nature that is residing in our body, in our spiritual life. And then we have a word, adelphos. Literally, it's brother, but it's used in a very technical way in the New Testament. A-D-E-L-P-H-O-S. Adelphos, it's the word brother, but in the New Testament scriptures, it's a technical term for the royal family of God. We are all royal family of God, and this is what we have here. The vocative is the vocative of address. And then the to-be verb, ame, we are. And then the present tense is the progressive present. The action is presented as actually being in progress in present time at the time of speaking. The present tense is also linear action, Sartre. In our spiritual life, we keep on having no obligation to the sin nature. We are believers in Jesus Christ. We are royal family of God. We keep on having no obligation to the sin nature. The active voice, the brethren, the royal family of God, perform the action of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative. This is a dogmatic fact. This is reality. This is certainty. And then we have ophelites. Ophelites. O-P-H-E-I-L-E-T. Long E-S. Ophelites. All right, this is the key word here. Now, a couple of points here. One, literally, ophelites means debtor. Literally, it means debtor. Two, figuratively, ophelites means to be under obligation. To be under obligation. Point three. Now, as believers in Jesus Christ, we are royal family of God. We do have an obligation. Our obligation is to live the unique spiritual life of the church age by the power of God the Holy Spirit and glorify God to the maximum while we're here. We do have an obligation. We're royal family of God. As royal family of God, our obligation is to live the unique spiritual life God has given us, and by the power of God the Holy Spirit, and glorify our Lord to the maximum. Glorify God while we're here in time and for all eternity. Point four. As royal family of God, believers in church age saints, we are absolutely not under obligation to the sin nature. As royal family of God, believers in Jesus Christ in the church age saints, we are absolutely not under obligation to the sin nature. That's what we have here. You have the sin nature in your body. You have a choice. Who's going to control your life? You have options. You have options. You can make good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, grow up to spiritual maturity, and glorify God to the maximum. That's what God would love to see all of you do. But you have a free will. You also have the option to make bad decisions, to live your life by the sin nature, under the control of the sin nature. So after salvation, you have a free will. You have options. You have the sin nature residing in your body. You have God the Holy Spirit residing in your body. And there's a war going on between the sin nature and God the Holy Spirit as to who's going to control your soul. Who's going to control your thinking, your life. But you have a guardian. You have a guardian of your soul. And that guardian is your volition. You have a free will. A free will. So here's the old sin nature in your body, and it's sending up, we'll put OSN, old sin nature. That's not Olson. Our kids always thought when they were back and younger, why do we have to always study about the Olson nature? Why can't we study about the Abbott nature? Vandalo nature. Whew. That's a really bad one. All the old sin nature sends up all these temptations. The temptations come. Temptations are not a sin. The temptations come up, but you got a free will. All you have to do with that free will is say, no, no, no. Sin nature will keep sending up temptations, but all you have to say is no. You have a free will. Now you also have the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. And He has given, we're given a mandate. Keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. So all you have to do here is say yes. And live the spiritual life by the power of God the Holy Spirit. This is the guardian. You have a guardian in your soul. Your free will. You're the product of your own decisions. You can't blame anybody else. You can make good decisions to live the spiritual life by the power of the Spirit of God. Or you can make bad decisions to turn your life over to the sin nature. You have the choice. You have alternatives. Now we have the alternatives coming up in our passage. That's coming up in verse 13, but we haven't quite got there to the alternatives yet. So, as royal family of God, point four, we are absolutely not under obligation to the sin nature. Five. At salvation, at that moment of faith in Jesus Christ, faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, faith in Christ, we were divorced from the sin nature, the husband of the unbeliever, by the baptism of the Spirit. So at salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, we were divorced from the sin nature, the husband of our life when we were unbelievers, by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Point six. The baptism of the Spirit has two parts. Retroactive positional truth and current positional truth. Retroactive positional truth. We were identified with Christ in His death and burial. Identified with Christ in His death and burial. And then current positional truth. Identify with Christ in His resurrection, ascension, and session. Seated at the right hand of God the Father. So, point seven. So now, We have a great obligation to our new husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we have a great obligation to our new husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, to live the spiritual life by the power of the Spirit of God and glorify God. Glorify God to the maximum. And that's why we're here. We're not here, we're only here a short time here on planet Earth. We're here today and we'll be gone tomorrow. And as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's you're absent from the body and face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. That is so fantastic. That's just around the corner. Absent from the body and face to face with the Lord. So now we have a great obligation to our new husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, to live the spiritual life by the power of the Spirit of God and glorify God to the maximum. So far we have, so then, brethren, royal family of God, we are absolutely not under obligation to the flesh, the sin nature. We are absolutely not under obligation to the sin nature. And then that we have in the King James, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. This is the objective negative u plus the dative singular of sarx with the definite article plus the genitive singular of the article to plus the prepositional phrase kata plus the accusative of sarx repeated plus the present active infinitive of zao. Now we have an objective negative u. And the object, it looks like that in the Greek and it looks like that in the English. Objective negative u slams the door. You would translate it, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And then, in other words, as royal family of God, we are absolutely not under obligation to the sin nature. And then we have the word which is for the sin nature, sarx, S-A-R-K-S, sarx. Literally, it means flesh. It is used many, many times for the sin nature in the New Testament. The dative case is the dative of reference respect. That is, the noun in the dative is that in reference to which or in respect to which something is true. Or with the objective negative u, absolutely is not true. And then we have the verb zao. Z-A, long O, zao. And zao generally is the word to live. Sometimes it refers to physical life. Other times it is used for living the unique spiritual life of the church age. And then sometimes it refers to living the carnal reversionistic life according to the sin nature, and that's how it's used here in our verse. Zao is a genitive articular infinitive. Ooh, that gets me going in my office. Genitive articular infinitive. This introduces an epexegetical infinitive. This is getting better all the time. An epexegetical infinitive. The only thing that's better than this is today in Wordle, we got it in one. One. Ah, we got it in one. I always start out the first word. I go through the alphabet, and I was at the letter T. And I love animals and fish, so I put trout. It was trout. So I beware. I told Deb, the rapture's going to occur now. We may have the rapture before we even have communion. You never know. Apexegetical infinitive clarifies, qualifies, or completes the thought of another word. In our context, that word is the sin nature, the sarx. And then the preposition kata plus the accusative of sarx repeated, according to the sin nature, according to the norms and standards of the sin nature, in conformity with the sin nature, corresponding to the sin nature. So our corrected translation. So then, brethren, royal family of God, we are absolutely not under obligation to the flesh, the sin nature, to live according to the norms and standards of the sin nature. Okay, got that? Let's hear that again. So then, brethren, royal family of God, that's us, church age saints, we are absolutely not under obligation to the sin nature to live according to the norms and standards of the sin nature. All right. One. Verse 12 prepares the way for, this is a deep point, verse 13. Verse 12 prepares the way for verse 13 where we have your alternative. You have options. In your life as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have options to make good decisions or bad decisions, to live the spiritual life or turn your life over to the sin nature and produce sin, human good, and evil. So here, verse 12 prepares the way for verse 13 and the alternatives. Two, you have a choice. You have a choice. You can live your life according to the norms and standards of the sin nature, or you can live your life by the power of God the Holy Spirit. It's up to you. You have the choice. You have a volition, a free will. You have a choice. You can live your life according to the norms and standards of the sin nature, or you can live your life by the agency of God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit. Three. So a question, point three. After salvation, what? You believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior. But after salvation, what? God's plan didn't stop that second you believed in Christ. That just the beginning. That wasn't the end. After salvation, the gun's gone off. Here's the track and field. You just come out of the blocks. You placed your faith in Jesus Christ. The gun went off. You've just begun. Now, what about the rest of your life? God has a marathon for you to run. A marathon. And that marathon is to make good decisions to glorify God to the maximum. Why are you here? You're here to glorify God to the maximum. When you believe in Christ, you're a spiritual baby. And babies don't do too much. All babies do is drink milk and poop the diaper. And that's all they do. And that's all baby believers do too. They don't do anything. They're just babies. So God has given us a command. Grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He wants you to grow up. He doesn't want you to stay a baby. He doesn't want you to be a baby or a child or an adolescent. He wants you to grow up to spiritual maturity. He wants you to glorify Him to the maximum. He wants you to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all mankind, occupation with Jesus Christ. He wants you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what He wants. So, you, after salvation, what? Salvation wasn't the end. Salvation's the beginning. The gun went off. Now you have a spiritual race before you. You have placed your faith in Jesus Christ. You now have eternal salvation. But after salvation, you have alternatives. After salvation, you have choices. 4. You can live your life according to the norm and standard of the sin nature. You can live your life according to the norm and standard of the sin nature. But if you do that, you are destined to die the sin unto death. Maximum divine discipline. You won't lose your salvation. That's impossible. But you see, God loves you with infinite virtue love. God doesn't want to see you crash and burn. God wants to bless you and bless you and bless you and bless you. And the plan that God has for you is the greatest plan. He just wants to bless you, bless you, bless you. But you have a free will to make good decisions, to live the spiritual life by the power of the God, the Holy Spirit, or make bad decisions to let the old sin nature take control of your life. It's up to you. So you can live your life according to the norms and standards of the sin nature, but if you do that, you're destined to die the sin unto death, maximum divine discipline. 5. Or you can live your life by the agency of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. And then you will live. You will live the spiritual life, attain spiritual maturity, and you will glorify God to the maximum. In the short time while you're here, you will glorify God to the maximum. I hope that that's true for every single one of you. I would love to see all of you make the good decisions to live the spiritual life by the power of the Spirit of God. Advance to spiritual maturity. Have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. I would hope every one of you would love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and glorify God to the maximum. You can. It's strictly up to you. 6. The solution to the problem of the sin nature is found in the unique spiritual life that God has for us in the church age. The solution to the problem of the sin nature is found in the unique spiritual life that God has for us in the church age. In verse 12, you are absolutely not under obligation to the sin nature. And follow the policy of sin, human good and evil. You are absolutely not under obligation to the sin nature to follow the policy of sin, human good and evil. 8. Having no obligation to the sin nature, clears the decks to follow the policy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Having no obligation to the sin nature, clears the decks so we can follow the policy of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Nine, the policy of the Lord Jesus Christ for each one of us is to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, fulfilling the mandate of Ephesians 5:18. Keep on being filled or empowered by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. Walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. And then the mandate for the teaching ministry of the Spirit. Grow up in the grace orientation and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that is accomplished through the teaching ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. You've assembled here this morning. You made a good decision to come to Upland Bible Church to hear what the Lord has for you this morning from His Word. You're here to learn it. You make good decisions. Now you're hearing what God says in His Word. You have the free will now to respond to that, to believe that. When you believe it, it goes into your heart. And now you're growing up. Who's teaching? Well, you say, Pastor Olson's teaching. I'm the human teacher. But God the Holy Spirit takes what comes from this pulpit, and God the Holy Spirit then teaches you in your heart. That's the teaching ministry of the Spirit, so that you can comprehend it and have the opportunity to believe it, and then it goes into, well, epinosis, completed knowledge, full knowledge in your heart, and that you can apply skillfully and accurately to your life. So the policy of the Lord Jesus Christ for the church age believer is to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. And when you do that, you will grow up. You won't be a baby anymore. You'll grow up to spiritual maturity. And when you attain spiritual maturity, you will fulfill the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. You will have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. You will have personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all mankind, and occupation with Jesus Christ. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's the best of the best. That's verse 12. Now when we get to verse 13, it'll be next week, we have the alternatives. After salvation, we have the alternatives given in verse 13. We'll start there next week. We'll take a break. When we come back, we have the Lord's table.